more and more people are waking up to what we're saying, and we've got a long ways to go, though. So, yeah.
You're going to hear going out, Buffy St. Marie is in the movie, I understand.
She is, my gratitude to Sheldon Wolfchild from the Dakota Nation, who directed the movie, and without him, there wouldn't be a movie. So it was a collaborative effort and took a long time to figure out how to tell the story. I think we've been pretty successful with that, and you know, we just have so much work to do to figure out how to begin to create the positive alternatives to the domination system based upon the seven laws of the Oglala Lakota Nation, as an example, or the Ocheche Chicoan Nation. And many, many different original nations have those types of positive laws and principles that are based upon a respect for all forms of life. And when we wrote our letter to the Pope back in 1993, we said, we invite you to walk with us on the sacred path in honor of the first original or the first indigenous principle, respect the earth as our mother and have a sacred regard for all living things.
Well, and speaking of that, it sounds like we're out of time. I thank you and invite people to go to our website at Wednesday Talk Radio at KBO.FM. Thank you so much, Steve. It's been really nice hanging out with you on the phone.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
Sponsor of the Salem Progressive Film Series presentation of Holding the Thin Green Line. This documentary slideshow tells the stories of people fighting to save the souls of their communities and preserve the integrity of the Pacific Northwest as they fight to stop the world's largest methanol refinery from being built in Colima, Washington, and a massive LNG facility in Tacoma. From December 6th to the 11th, the slideshow can be viewed at your own convenience at kboo.fm/greenline. Then on December 11th from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll hold a live Q&A session with activists who are featured in the documentary. Again, that's Holding the Thin Green Line documentary slideshow screening, December 6th to the 11th, and a live Zoom Q&A on December 11th. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Today, our show was taped during the volatile COVID-19 pandemic. With our studio unavailable to us and our commitment to social distancing, we are using the Zoom platform to record today's show.
Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Our guest today is incumbent Hillsborough Mayor Steve Calloway. Mayor Calloway settled in Hillsborough in 1995, where he later served as the principal of Tobias Elementary School. He served on the Hillsborough City Council from 2010 until 2016, when Councillor Calloway was elected mayor in November 2016. Welcome, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and privilege of joining you.
Mr. Mayor, the type of leadership one brings to their job depends, at least to a degree, on character. What core values do you bring to your efforts to lead the city of Hillsborough?
Thanks, Rob. I would have to say it's the core character values of honesty, decency, and being present. And I think that those are characteristics, that I learned from my parents. I saw them modeled by my parents. And those are also characteristics that I tried to live as both a teacher and a principal. And, you know, the importance of being present and visible can't be overstated. You know, I heard somebody say that the superpower of a mayor is their visibility and accessibility. And I believe that there's some great truth to that, because you see us on Main Street, you see us at church or the parking lot or, you know, the schools or events or wherever, farmers market, I mean, you name it, and we're there. And so I think that that's one of those things that just being visible and present is critically important. I don't try to be everywhere at once, but I try to be everywhere at least once. But certainly there are some times when your presence is very appropriate. And some of those are at our community celebrations and gatherings and events, and you know, where we come together to celebrate who we are and what we are. And those are the events that I thoroughly enjoy, and I look forward to when we can do those again post-pandemic, and we are able to gather and say hi to each other and have a conversation that, you know, doesn't have to be socially distanced and maybe doesn't even have to involve a mask.
Oh, I think we're all looking forward to that, Mr. Mayor, by all means. Both Hillsborough and Forest Grove are considered full-service cities. What are some of the pros and cons in governing a full-service city in our county?
I know that Mayor Truax in Forest Grove would want me, well, he would be sure to point out that they are a even broader full-service city because they have their own electric company. And we obviously are very well served and have a great partnership with Portland General Electric. But beyond that, we are full service cities in that we have our own fire departments, our own parks departments, our own police departments and everything. Mm-hmm. I see great value in that because it means that all of our tax dollars are staying locally for these services. It means that the people who are working here within our city understand our city's culture. And I don't mean just our city as an organization. I want to be clear that this is, you know, just an observation and not a criticism, you know, but a special district has one purpose, and that is to look out for and operate their special district. As a city, we have the obligation and the purpose to maintain all of the services. And so it means that all of our services have an equal priority within the budget and within staffing, as opposed to, you know, multiple layers of special districts.
Okay, thank you. Way back when there was an opening on the Hillsborough City Council in 2012, no one filed for the position. It was ultimately filled by a write-in candidate. This year, seven candidates have filed or had filed for the open seat on City Council in Ward 3. I know one dropped out, so there's six running. Does this suggest to you that more people are now interested in becoming a part of local government? If so, why?
You know, Rob, great question. And not only did we have one vacant seat in 2012 that was filled by a write-in, we also had another seat that had one person who ran, and that person filed about 45 minutes prior to the deadline for filing. And I would point out that Councilor President Fred Nachtigall is the one who filed right before the deadline. And we have been so admirably and well served by him, you know, during these last 8 years. And it is his seat that is open and has currently six candidates running for that open seat. I wish we had the crystal ball to know a week before the election, you know, the results, because I'd love to be able to address that, knowing that this is going to be broadcast in November. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is a desire to give back to the community. That's one of the things that I've heard consistent from all of the people who are running. There are people who support our community. They support our priorities. They support our police department. They support the things that we're doing. I haven't seen any of them run, you know, because they dislike the direction we're headed. They are unhappy with what's happening. And people talk about wanting to give back to the community. I think there's no more nobler way to give back than to volunteer publicly in public service. And whether it's, you know, as a volunteer with Hills Doer Day or, you know, helping out in the schools or something like that. But in this instance, if you want to kind of be in the volunteer role of a counselor, you know, running for office is the price you have to pay. So I think that, you know, people are interested in giving back to their community. They're interested in making sure that, you know, their perspective and the perspective of the people that they know is represented and brought forward. And so people just have a desire to make sure that they're able to give back in a way that's meaningful and frankly has a long-term impact.
You know, talking to several candidates, I know that you're right, and yet I'm still stuck by what's different from 2012 to now. It's only 8 years, and if it is reflective of a greater desire to give back, what's contributed to have that desire become stronger over these past 8 years?
I do believe that what we're seeing at the national level has an effect locally as well. That, you know, sometimes we can't picture ourselves running for a Salem office or a Washington office. And so being politically active at the local level is still the easiest way. And so that could be another reason, Rob. You know, we see that with school board races as well, because I can remember during my years on the school or in the school district, my 25 or 30 years in the school district, that there were times that, you know, we had school board seats that were uncontested, or even I think I can remember once when there was one that was vacant. And so I think that we're seeing locally, you know, whether it's cities, but it's also, you know, counties where we have contested seats, it's school boards where we have contested seats. And so I think that all of it comes back to people wanting to serve, but also people wanting to be politically involved without having to make a commitment to go to Salem or Washington.
You know, Hillsborough serves as a city unto itself, of course, but it's also the seat for county government, which makes us wonder here at Inside Washington County, do county issues occasionally get kind of lumped in or perceived as city issues, or vice versa?
I would say yes, in the same way that we have county roads and state highways that traverse mm-hmm. our city. And yet, because it's within our city limits, people tend to think of it as a Hillsborough road. And so we will have issues relate, you know, on TV Highway, and people will say, you know, Hillsborough, you need to do something about that. Well, ODOT has jurisdiction. And so there's certain things that, you know, so that analogy, you know, then also holds true. And, you know, and I see great benefit, and I'm proud that we're the county seat. You know, but there are times that, you know, because of some of the county services that are headquartered here, that we have additional responsibilities or maybe additional situations that come, you know, that come into play that may not exist in other parts of the county where, you know, county departments or the jail or things such as that are not housed or seated. You know, when I say there's, you know, great advantages to being the county seat, and one, of course, is our county fairgrounds. And, you know, with the new Wingspan opening up, the county event center, you know, that's a jewel for Hillsborough to have located, you know, in the heart of our city. And, you know, and we're grateful for the partnership that we have with the county that, you know, as we helped fund that and bring that to life, that benefits us as a city economically as well. And so, you know, it's definitely a two-way street where we benefit, you know, by their presence.
It sounds like it's a partnership that's completely dependent on solid, effective communication.
Absolutely, and we're grateful for the relationship that we have and the work that we're able to do together. You know, an example that, you know, comes to mind is the safe camping site over at the fairgrounds right now, and also the RV camping, you know, that is available.
Mr. Mayor, I'm told that 40% of Hillsborough is non-white. With issues of diversity, inclusion, and equity in mind, is everyone sharing in city resources?
Thanks for that question, Rob. Hillsborough does hold the distinction of being the most diverse large city in the state, with 40% of our residents being non-white. I will just, a little tangent here. You know, it brings such richness and in depth to our city, just having so many different, you know, cultures and so many different traditions. And it truly is wonderful to see the different cultures meld together in so many of our civic celebrations and activities. But having said that, outside of those activities, we strive to work hard, you know, to make sure that everybody has a place and everybody, you know, has a role in our city and everybody's voice is heard. And we do that in a variety of ways. Some of them are seemingly simple things like providing daycare during city council meetings. And obviously we haven't done that since March, but, you know, parents could bring their kids to our Outdoors Inn playground and then attend work session or city council meetings and know their kids were safely being cared for. When I took office 4 years ago, I insisted that my business card be bilingual. And so all of our elected business cards now are bilingual. So when we hand them out, then we know that we are reaching more than just our English-speaking population. But we also, and this is one of the wonderful things about how our city worked during the COVID crisis, for those who have food insecurities or those who are unable to get out to get food assistance, then we redeployed, if you will, some of our city staff into delivering food boxes so that people didn't have to leave their homes. And that provided, again, a way of connecting and supporting, you know, people, you know, all across our ethnic, you know, spectrum, if you will, but also it also made sure that those who are lower income, you know, didn't have to extend any resources or risk their health in order to get the assistance that they needed. So those are some of the ways that we are, you know, supporting all of our residents. And, you know, when we go into public service, Rob, wanting to make a difference. And I think that, you know, most of us go into a life wanting to make a difference. And one of the ways that we're doing that, we've done this now for years, and I'm very, very proud of it. It's one of my proudest things that I've been associated with, and that is our support for Future Connect at Portland Community College, where every year the city of Hillsborough helps fund education for 50 students at Portland Community College. And these kids go in with cohorts, and so they receive coaching and mentoring, tutoring, if necessary, and they are all able to go through and they leave PCC with a skill, a trade, or an associate's degree, and it's debt-free. So they're able to move on to a four-year college or move into the workforce with zero college debt. And that is huge. And when we think about changing and bending the arc, if you will, of generational poverty, then this is one of the ways that we're able to do that. And it's just so exciting to see, you know, our high schoolers, you know, have an opportunity that they might have thought would not be there for them. And it's exciting to know that opportunities that my kids had, because, you know, and didn't have to wonder about, you know, college, you know, is that an option? You know, other kids didn't have to wonder if college is an option for them now either. So that's another way, you know, that we're able to make sure that we're using, you know, city resources to meet the needs, not just the basic needs of everybody, but truly working hard to meet the needs of all people.
For our listeners who might have failed to hear the enthusiasm in your voice, please let me share with them the enthusiasm I see on your face as you talk about that project.
Thank you.
Sir, I was thinking, as we continue on this vein about the everybody being able to share, one way that a lot of cities try and be inclusive is in making appointments to city boards and councils and commissions. I'm sure that diversity is a concern for you when you do that, when you and council do that. But what factors do you consider when you appoint members to commissions and boards for the city?
You know, we recruit each year, and then we have staff who will give a review of the applications before they're brought to me. And then I appoint and the council approves. So that's the process. And one of my priorities has been to make sure that it is not just, you know, folks who look like me, older white people, but rather people who whose life experiences bring a different perspective and a different viewpoint to their committee, commission, or board service. And so that's one of the priorities. And, you know, and I think we're hitting it spot on. when we appointed the last group a year ago to our boards and commissions, one of our Latino members who was in the audience spoke and said, as I look at the names, and he said, I understand I'm doing it based on the last names, the surnames, but when I look at the names that are in the consent agenda of those people being appointed, I've never seen the diversity that I see here. And it's easier for me to think a job is getting done, but when people of our BIPOC community are noticing, then you know that you're really getting the job done. So that's really exciting, you know, to me. And I think that even with our Zoom meetings, Rob, it means that some folks can be involved, you know, either by attending or by participating, but they wouldn't normally, because it may be harder to get down, you know, get to a 7 a.m. meeting or a 6 p.m. meeting. But if they're able to do it at home, then it's easier to participate.
Well, that's undoubtedly the silver lining in a very oppressive cloud, pardon me. It brings up, as we're taping today's show, we are locally and nationally in an ever-increasing second wave with record numbers of both infections and increasing deaths across the country, and in Oregon, of course. What challenges do Hillsborough residents face to help flatten the curve and eventually put an end to this epidemic?
One of the things that I have always shared that makes Hillsborough special is our hearts are bigger than our egos. And that carries forward into responding to the pandemic. There are people who are wearing masks who may not, you know, it may not be the thing that they would like to do, but they're wearing masks because it is the thoughtful thing to do. It is the cautious thing to do. It's the careful and considerate thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I see people wearing masks, that sends a message. When I see people who aren't wearing masks, you know, then I wonder, you know, what's their decision, you know, process. You know, maybe there's another health issue. Maybe there's, you know, some extenuating circumstances that I'm not aware of. But I really do appreciate when I'm out and about seeing people wear their masks, because I know that they're thinking of my health, they're thinking of the health of my dad, who's 92 years old. And in the same way that when I wear my mask, I do it because I want to help make sure that people are safe. Now, beyond that, just not getting careless, you know, as we move to, into November here, and we know that we're going to be spending more time indoors, we need to make sure that we're not becoming cavalier or relaxed with it, but we're still staying vigilant. And also, as my family has made the decision, we're not bringing multiple generations together for Thanksgiving. We will be celebrating Thanksgiving, you know, in smaller, you know, smaller family units, certainly giving thanks in the same way for the health that we experience, but also working to maintain that health, you know, through Christmas and beyond.
Thank you. As you complete your first term as Hillsborough mayor and approach the beginning of your second term, I'm curious as to how the core values we talked about at the beginning of the interview may have changed through the impact of governing. We talked about honesty, decency, and being present, I believe. It's been 4 years, sir.
Those characteristics are every bit as important today as they were 4 years ago. And, you know, being honest, there are times that, you know, being honest to my core values meant that I may have voted in a way that some people disagreed with. And there are some instances, Rob, where we agree to disagree. There are other instances where it has cost me a friendship. And that's the risk you run. That's the risk you incur when you run and are elected and serve. And people that I admire, like Mark Hatfield, who always had a strong sense of right and wrong and a strong sense about, you know, for instance, when, you know, the United States should be involved in military actions around the country, around the world, you know, and you knew the integrity with which he served. And I think that those are the, you know, the people that have always inspired me. And I think that, you know, trying to live out those types of consistency and honesty. You know, you've seen in other people's lives how it works, and it works the way that it should. And so hopefully in exhibiting those characteristics, it's working in Hillsborough the way that it should as well.
I have nothing other than respect for those values. I guess I have limited respect for the systems in politics that you have to deal with. And I think it would be awfully hard sometimes to maintain, say, the value of being honest when you're presented with some information and told that you have to keep certain elements of it secret. Do you not find yourself in that position where your ability to be fully honest, or as honest as your values would suggest, become difficult, if not impossible?
I don't think so, because, you know, I've never been put in a situation where I've been asked to lie or compromise the truth in order to speak. And, you know, and I think that that's maybe something that's different at the local level than, you know, when you're at a national level. But I think that sometimes you can just say that, as I have, you know, I can't disclose the information. And So rather than lie and give bad information or inaccurate information, you're honest about what you can and cannot say. And that's no different than, you know, being a principal. You know, there may be things that I'm aware of that I'm not, you know, permitted to share, but in due time, information will come out when it's appropriate. And so there's no doubt that within the whole system of politics that there are times that people lie and frankly, they mislead in order to take people in a different way, or they lie in order to, you know, have people think a particular way. But again, I'm grateful that at a city level, and I would say even at a county level, you know, we're not in those situations. And I think, again, that's why, going back to one of the earlier questions, why do people want to participate in politics at a local level? It's because you're able to do so, you know, in this manner, and, you know, really maintain
maintaining integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to be careful too. I'm not implying that, you know, once you move outside the county arena, you know, or the county level, that you know, all of a sudden people lose their morals and integrity, because that's not the case. And, you know, we've seen time and time again, you know, how well served we are by our representatives and senators at the local level. And so I have the utmost respect for the people that I work with and that serve us in these elected positions.
Understood, and I thank you for that. Mr. Mayor, since Hillsborough already has an internet provider, what's the motivation behind Highlight, the city's new program for internet access?
Rob, one of the things that I've said in different settings, and I was on a national press conference talking about the impact of COVID, and I use the saying that adversity doesn't build character, it reveals character. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, I would argue that the pandemic has not created inequities, but it has revealed inequities. And one of those inequities is access to broadband. We see kids who are having to go, you know, to schools or to different locations outside of their home in order to access, you know, the internet so that they can be engaged in their learning. We also have families that now you have potentially two parents at home working and kids also online. And so you have three and four users at any given time. And so that creates hardships. And so that is one of the things that has just absolutely made crystal clear to me that the internet, you know, is an essential utility in the same way that water and electricity is as well. And so because of that, it's very appropriate then for a municipality to provide an essential service. So as we are rolling it out, then it has just, again, driven home the importance of it. And when you look at the cost for which we are making it available, so for low income, you know, seniors and others, you know, it's $10 a month. And that includes your hardware and your equipment. So there's no add-on rental fees. And for those of us that are fortunate enough not to need, you know, a low income rate, it's roughly $50-$55 a month for gigabit speed and no data caps. And so again, that is going to help those who are working from home or operating their business from home or wanting to start a business from home, or for those of us that are working from home and even doing the kind of work that we're doing today, to be able to do it with high speed internet is critically important. So we're really excited about that, and being able to save our school district about $500,000 a year by being their internet provider also means that in a time of, you know, financial challenges, that they have money now that can go to support kids in a way that wasn't available previously. So we're really excited about it. It's great to see it rolling out in South Hillsborough. And our other targeted area during the phase one rollout is south of our Civic Center in our lowest, least connected census tract in the city. And it's also one of the two least connected census tracts in the whole entire metro area. And so we are making that a priority so that everybody has access to the internet. And Rob, this ties back to the diversity, inclusion, and equity question that we had earlier. We are making sure that the city is stepping into the gap and giving everybody equitable access to essential services.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for joining us today. It's a distinct pleasure to interview somebody before their election and know that they've already won. I can tell by your enthusiasm for all of the programs that